Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Stop, everyone. Are you ready for a sing along? Slow poking a reggae, reggae style.
Still play this song, huh?
This is, by the way, this is Hollywood's greatest sports moment right
ever,
here.
Ever.
Well, I'm just trying to hype up the rematch if Omar is so cowardly and he accepts.
I wish he would get in shape and just and
smoke
we could
him.
Sit
in
and
bad
just
shape. There's
trash
no
talk you
He's
every
just
day.
Married, man. Give him a break. Could be in good shape right
like,
now.
He's like the Dion Waiters
what,
of sports journalism.
Shape. Jeez, God.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Omar Kelly going to join us from the Sun Sentinel, and it's brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Omar. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen, and Hollywood will definitely get a rematch.
Oh,
Omar,
I like it.
I want Omar, if you get in shape and stretch out and now you take him seriously because you know
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not
no
a
flippage.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you want him because if you beat him,
he'll come in overweight. I would imagine.
All you got to do is beat him by half a step, and we are going to trash talk him. We'll have some songs on his ass and see how he likes it every day because he doesn't let stuff go.
He got a victory. It's all good. There will be a rematch.
Omar, just know you're doing it for everybody.
No, you're doing it on behalf of.
I mean, I don't care if I got to pay for Bomberitos to get you in shape. I'm getting you in shape for that. And you're gonna like, I don't care what it takes at this point. I'm calling Bomberito after the show, and I'm saying you're coming, and you're giving 2 weeks to Omar right before this race.
Just to focus on the 40.
And just working on the 40.
Oh,
that's it. No weights, nothing. That's it.
I am going to talk to Bomberito about my start.
Yep. Quick
stay
start.
Stay on your feet, man.
And,
that's it.
And
stay
you got to finish on your feet. That's it. Yeah, that's
you
it.
Got him. Just
have you seen those
feet.
Instagram videos he posts from the gym? I mean, he's not in the best physical condition right now.
He is working out with his new wife.
There. No. Can you stop he taking, needs to get there before the race.
Can you stop taking shots at him? Okay, tough guy in the back. Let's let's go. Omar, we got a lot of stuff here. You've had articles just about every position. And I just want to say this, because you keep going, well, we need help with this position, that position. We don't have enough picks,
every
man.
Position.
So let's get this into, let's prioritize this a little bit so we can get this done. All right, where are we going? First of all, Haskins drops to 13. I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, what do the Dolphins do?
I don't think it's going to happen either. I think his baseline is probably the Cincinnati Bengals. There's a lot of talk about them taking a quarterback in the first round. But if he does fall, they have to take him. I mean, no matter what they plan to do in 2020, he's too talented a quarterback to pass up. The only concern about him is he's a one-year wonder, and he really – there is no consistency in terms of seeing whether or not he's going to continue to take that step forward. But, you know, he's too talented a quarterback. He throw 50 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in one of the highest levels of college football. You can't pass that up if it's there at 13 and you don't have to trade up for him.
All right, Omar. So Joe came in this morning and started talking about the fact that 13 pick's not going to be theirs. They're going to trade down and try to get more picks. What do you think about that? Do you think they'll move out of, you know, like that top 15 spot, maybe move down into the 20s just to get an extra 2, 3, whatever it is?
Yeah, I really don't think it's worth it in this draft. If you really look at it from the standpoint of where's the elite talent? There's about 15, I haven't really counted them yet, but I think there are about 15 to 13 elite prospects in this draft. A couple of them, the Dolphins, you know, don't need. They don't need the tight end, TJ Hockenson. So, you know, somebody takes him before they take him, and if, let's say, 2 or maybe 3 in your dream of the quarterbacks go, you're going to be in a position to get one of the elite players in the draft, just like you did last year when you got Minka Fitzpatrick. You can't pass that up to go select the 22nd pick in the draft. And the problem that I have with that is there's probably about 13. I'm saying 13 because I really did count it. I think it is 13. There are 13 elite players in this draft. Then there's a batch of guys. I heard you guys talking to Tony Pauline, and I do agree with it. There's guys 20 through guys like 77 are basically the same guys. And, yes, it would be nice to get more of those talents because that's the level of Xavier Howard's. But I want the sure thing. The Minka Fitzpatrick. I want the Minka Fitzpatrick. I don't want the Cordrea Tankersley. You know, and so I want the elite opportunity to take an elite player. Plus, I think if teams trade up for the draft, they're trading up to take an offensive tackle, or they're trading up to take a pass rusher, or they're trading up to take a defensive tackle, because that's where the premier talent is in this draft. The problem I see with trading back is you need those three positions. Why would you pass up on taking the good one for the one that's decent and has the potential to be good?
Which of those positions, if we all agree, they need offensive linemen, whether you're looking at guard or tackle, or a pass rusher, or even a guy inside that can do a little bit of everything, including get to the quarterback, what do you think is the number one priority of those three, or other position?
The number one priority in my mind is pass rusher, because everything else, you have something that can make you go into the season and say, all right, we could survive if we stay completely healthy. There is talk that Jesse Davis might move to right tackle. Isaac Asiata is there. Chris Reed is there at guard. I'm not saying that those are great options, but you have options. There is no option at pass rusher. There's Charles Harris, who's mystery meat in himself, and then there's nothing else.
What'd you call mystery meat?
Mystery meat, yeah.
Did you go mystery meat?
That's what I call a hot dog sometimes. Mystery meat, yeah.
That was very creative right there, mystery meat.
It's not the Hebrew National.
Nathan's.
It's that dollar pack of hot dogs. You don't know what's in there.
99 right. cents for 8 hot dogs. You have no idea what's in
there.
It's
not Boar's Head. All right.
It's not Boar's Head either, though.
I got you.
All right. So, Omar, tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, but since the whole Adam Gase and Mike Tannenbaum and Chris Greer thing got blown up, Chris Greer got put in charge, I've been kind of a little bit down on Chris Greer because of the fact that he's been in that room for the last decade. He's been there and maybe not making the final decision, but in the decision process. And then last night, of course, because I'm an NFL Network junkie, I put on NFL Network and they're replaying the 2012 draft. And I got there the pick before the Dolphins got there. And then the Dolphins picked Tannehill. I see Joe Philbin's face in like a notepad. Didn't look like he was happy. And I see Chris Greer high-fiving Jeff Ireland in the background.
That bothered Zach all morning.
I haven't been on the Chris Greer bandwagon yet. I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't know what to expect because he's been in that room.
Was Ireland jumping up and down too?
Ireland high five Chris Greer in that. Yeah. So it was a big. So I came in this morning with a little fire. You know where is it wrong of me? Should I be giving Chris Greer a little bit of benefit of the doubt, or should I be a little skeptical because he's been in that room for the last decade?
I wanted the Dolphins to select Ryan Tannehill too. There was a point in that draft where, at that time, where everybody said Tannehill is a young, promising, talented athlete who, in time, should develop into a decent quarterback. And the problem that we have is he never developed into a decent quarterback. I don't think the selection of Tannehill was the issue. I think the fact that you never got him competition and you always anointed him, that was the issue. Now, it's funny that you talk about that video because I don't know where Chris Greer stood on Ryan Tannehill when they were drafting him, but I do know where he stood on the Ryan Tannehill in the process, which was always, we should get him competition. We should add somebody. And he was the only one on board on that train, and, nobody wanted to get on it. So, here's my biggest beef with Chris Greer. You're right. He has been part of this process. But in the two drafts that he's had, I haven't been really won over by the selections that he's made. Charles Harris, that was a huge bust. And it was a huge bust for a reason that's very predictable. He was a 3-4 outside linebacker. You projected him to become a 4-3 defensive end. Well, that's a bad projection. That's like drafting Brian Burns, who I'm not a fan of in this draft, and saying, oh, he could be a 4-3 outside linebacker. Well, the film absolutely says he can. So why would you do that? They did it, and what troubles me about that is I remember asking Chris Griff for a story I was doing about him learning from the lessons of past Dolphins' bad decisions. And he talked about Deion Jordan, and he was like, the problem we had with Deion Jordan is we didn't have a vision for him. Well, okay, you had a vision for Charles Harris. The problem is you were wrong in that vision, saying that, oh, he's going to be able to stop the run. He cannot stop the run. We've seen it now. He cannot stop the run. So that's a bad evaluation. Mike Gesicki, you drafted a guy you knew was not physical enough to play football in the NFL. And you're just like, oh, well, we'll go get a linebacker. We'll go get a tight end who could do that job. Well, if you knew he couldn't do it, why would you take him?
Yeah. Well, that's that one really bothers me from last year. First of all, he had the worst coach coaching him. Second of all, I don't want to hear halfway through the season on an airplane that we got a guy that can't come out of breaks. He's a long strider. Like, all of a sudden, this stuff's all shocking that Penn State wasn't on TV every freaking week when they had that good team. Like, yeah, so whatever it is, that's just, yeah, I'm with you on
plus
all
the tease in camp.
Hey, Omar, the only thing is, and I'm just going back and forth with you a little bit here on this one. The open competition for your quarterback, who you think's going to be your guy. Now, early on, maybe, but for bringing in, I mean, there's no open competition for the top quarterbacks in this league. You'd agree with that, right? There's no open competition, except for the teams that are at the bottom where they basically got two backups competing, and they think one of them can be the guy.
If Cincinnati takes a quarterback, you think they
but they haven't. Dalton's had no competition since he's been there to this point. You're bringing looking
quarterback. They've drafted other quarterbacks. He's just beaten them out. Miami's drafted.
No, they didn't beat him out. It was his job. Like he had to be like get injured for him to lose a job. There's no top guys making all this money that except Blake Bortles that are gonna lose their jobs, right? Unless they're just really bad and the whole team turns on them. There's just no open competition for top guys.
I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be.
Because of the money. Because, well, what are you going to do? You can give a guy 19, 20, and up now to 30 million.
You just ride with a mediocre quarterback? You knew he was mediocre.
Well, I did know a while back, but he didn't need competition to make – he wasn't getting any better with competition. Do you think he's going to get better? You think all of a sudden he was going to have pocket awareness because he had competition?
I think he was going to have to force himself to step up his play to hold off whoever is going to challenge him or give the team options. They never had any options, and I hated that. I've always hated that. Just give yourself some options.
Honestly, Matt Moore should have been the starter when he came in. Matt should have been the quarterback first up in that situation off of the way he played the year before, and they gave him.
No. David Garrard beat him out.
Oh, David Garrard, you're right.
Before he hurt himself playing Marco Polo.
Swimming, that's right. Stubbed his toe playing Marco. That's a strange one, by the way. You're right.
This is at the core of what bothers me about the whole Ryan Tannehill era. He's never won the starting quarterback job. He's never won it.
He was handed it.
He was given it because he never competed the first exhibition game that they played after the night after David Garrard got hurt. Ryan Tannehill started the game. Then Matt Moore came in a hailstorm, and they were like, Ryan outperformed Matt Moore. It's his job now. And I get what they were doing because they wanted to speed up his development, but he never competed with Matt Moore. He never competed with him. And that not to say that Matt Moore could have produced better results, but Ryan never earned that job, and I never will let that go. And there are players on the team. They had failed coups run on Ryan Tannehill to get Matt Moore to be the starter, and it caused them to change out the whole wide receiving core. And people never looked at that as, hey, maybe we need to get another quarterback, because if the people who are closest to him don't believe in him, like how is everybody else?
It was bad. Omar, by the way, you're right. You've been saying that a long time. You're right. A lot of guys did not want Ryan Tannehill, didn't relate to him, didn't know him, didn't do a great job of getting out there and getting to know and being a team leader. Totally agree.
Isn't that the quarterback's job, though? The quarterback's job is to be that guy, and he just wasn't that guy at all.
You saw Carson Wentz, what he said. Yeah. Carson Wentz goes, I got to work. Right now, while I'm getting healthy again, I got to work on the
team
locker
chemistry.
Room and chemistry.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he got called out for it, and it was great. He just, you know, you just can't run home and hang out with the family, man. You got to get to know these guys and find
Ryan
out what everybody
care.
Else. Take them out
Ryan
on
cares.
That damn fishing boat. You got to You take the whole damn team out on that thing.
Anyway. Ryan tried, and there
just
was
not
never,
natural.
There was never like I can't fault Ryan. In anything, because he tried. He really did try. And he made a lot of money trying.
He did. That's a good point. He did try.
He made a lot of money trying. He just wasn't good at it. And it is what it is. You know, I think he's going to be a great backup in Tennessee.
I agree. He'd be anywhere he goes, he'd be a good backup. I totally agree.
Yeah. He's a comparable quarterback to Marcus Mariota. You can't prove that Marcus Mariota is better than him.
Great.
Best of luck to Ryan. In his next life, he'll be in the NFL for God knows how long because, you know, he's not playing. He's athletic. He'll be a quarterback till he's like 35, 38.
You know the problem, though? You just hit it. I was at a party one night. I don't want to get into stuff. And everybody's out and around, and, you know, it's cool. Saw a lot of guys there, a couple from different teams, and talking and start, you know, throwing them down, having fun. We're all telling stories. And I look over. And 17's in the corner by himself, basically. And I'm like, dude, some of these are your teammates, dude. Like, I know you're not me, and we don't, like, damn, bro. Yeah. Get out. Pour a couple of drinks. Throw a shot. I don't like shot. Yeah. No. Have a freaking shot. And buy him.
That's what you did in the 80s? That's why you guys got along?
Well, no. I'm just saying, you know, a point I'm trying to
I
make.
Know.
Like, I just don't want to see my quarterback standing in the corner by himself.
He needed a buffer. He needed somebody like a Joe Rose who's going to bring the guys to him. And
yeah, that's good. That's interesting.
That, should have applied for that job.
I think it was Charles Harris in the earlier process.
Would have lasted 1 year and I gotten fired.
What happened? Oh, it's a friend. Barry Jackson's got it in the column about Joe Rose and Ryan Tannehill out on a Saturday night.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Ryan, true. Ryan. Go over there and get those guys, man. They're kind of looking. Go get. Yeah. Hey, you guys want a beer? I'm have a beer. We'll pour water in yours, so you don't have to. You'll be fine.
We'll pretend you're drinking vodka. That's it.
Hey, Omar, man, we gotta let you run. We're running super late. Thank you. I actually agreed on that Ryan Tannehill stuff with you. I
appreciate that. Now you need to agree on the two quarterbacks back to back.
Oh, you and Kim Bocamper. Now you got God. Bo calls me and goes, "Look at man, I don't agree with Omar on a lot of stuff, but." He's right. I go, no, just get the first quarterback. If it's going to be this year, then do it this year. If it's going to be next year, but don't take first-round picks back-to-back years. I got to let you go. Omar, thank you, man.
Omar, start working out. We're all counting
thank
on you.
Thank you, man. Yeah, take all care right. of his ass,
We're
Omar.
All counting on you.
All right, Pilates today.
That's fine.
Stretch, Omar,
go do
stretch.
It with Gronk. Go
Stay
do it with
on
Gronk.
Your feet, man. Yeah. I can't have you fall 2 years in a row.
Hot yoga with Gronk and your wife. That's it. That's what you need to do. See you later.
All right, tell you later.
Bye, Omar. Omar right. Kelly brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
You know, we just had a great conversation and about how much do you have to kiss your boss's ass? And I don't have a, like, with this business or anything, I don't have a problem. Like, if people do it, I don't have a problem. I get it. It's about survival and whether, you know, people, whatever they do. And we've got some guys at our station are really good downstairs and upstairs, and it's okay. Like, I get it. I understand. Even if you don't like things, you still do it, right?
You have to sometimes.
And I haven't been very good at it.
You've never been good at management. Oh, my God.
I didn't.
When did we start together? 2003? Something like that?
Well, it's usually a steady downhill, like,
It starts off okay.
You can see it getting worse and worse.
It starts off okay and then just goes to, you know, bleep. It
probably does. The same pattern.
I mean, we could go over all of them.
No, there's no reason.
Yeah. Josh Darrow. The guy downstairs that ripped everyone off. Allison Turner.
I like
Jason Salotkin. These were all our PDs.
Forgot him.
Yeah, he was our original PD.
Duff Daddy. I went back to
Duff Daddy. That's right.
Duff Daddy I liked, and I had some great blowouts with him. F-U, no F-U. He suspended me.
Yeah.
He sent me home without pay.
Yeah, we've been through it all. By the way,
he had me back real quickly with pay.
Correct. Did you finally end up watching Game of Thrones or no?
No.
Come on!
Yesterday was a bad day.
Why? You don't have an hour? 53 minutes?
No, I didn't have an hour.
God.
But when I have it, I had to get my wife at the airport, and it kind of threw off my...
Well, that take 9 hours? Get your wife?
No, but...
Did you watch Alaskan Bushwhackers yesterday?
No.
I was watching the Golf Channel.
Were you watching Golf Channel yesterday?
No, I didn't watch the Golf Channel.
Or the Tennis Channel?
No, I didn't.
If you did any of that for 53 minutes, I'm going
to
be pissed.
I am trying to wait to the weekend. So I know it's going to ruin it for you because you're dying to tell me
or
talk
about
it. I
just want to talk to you about it.
Well, it'll be fine.
Thank God Dono showed up yesterday. And the first thing he said to me was, dude, did you watch last night? I said, yeah. It was awesome.
Good. And I'm looking forward to it. I told you, I caught halfway. I watched 5 minutes. I go, I didn't see the first half. What am I doing?
No,
it was stupid.
You can't do that.
So
the show hasn't been on in 18 months. And there's only 7 more episodes.
No, I know.
There's only 8 in this last
season.
And
honestly, because I've watched everything, I can't wait to see how, everybody's coming together and you're trying to figure out and there's some backstabbing and who's going to end up hooking up with who. There got to be a little of that hooking up. So we got to see what's going to happen. So
not the shield.
I just want to see what's going to happen. And
you could if you watch it.
Well, I just didn't have time. I keep, jeez.
He's like bothered. There's no one here to discuss that.
I have no one
show.
To talk about Game of Thrones.
Have you seen it?
I watched the first season and didn't care for it.
But Joe likes it. Don't say no one cares for it.
Yeah.
Joe
likes
it.
No, he said he didn't. Yeah. He's getting better. No one cares.
People like Game of Thrones. I am aware of that.
Does Biff
I just
like it? Biff likes it.
There's too many characters. It just was
did you
all
like,
over my head.
Did you like the Narco stuff?
I did. I loved it. The new season I don't like.
Okay.
The little spinoff that they did, but the Narcos shows are excellent.
It's not easy to get your approval on stuff.
I'm waiting for him to say no one likes Narcos.
Yeah, no, it's that's a tough one. Hey, speaking of tough, we got all kinds of stuff going on here this morning to get to. Tell you who had a jackpot late last night, Russell Wilson.
Cool.
I always love it because as soon as this stuff happens, and we got going on the Ryan Tannehill, it is Ryan Tannehill's class. Russell Wilson, remember the guy out of Wisconsin, played there 1 year, was a third-round pick that was too short because they were still on that too short to play?
Correct.
Remember they beat the hell out of Russell Wilson. He was too short. Well,
never going to work out.
Never going to work out. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this. He's put up big numbers. He stayed healthier than any quarterback. He has now got himself a new 4-year, $140 million contract. I love the breakdown. It averages out. $35 million making the highest, $35 million a year, highest paid in the NFL. He's getting today, when he goes in, I'm guessing he'll get in there early, $65 million bonus as soon as he signs on that new contract. $107 million guaranteed, which he doesn't really care because he's probably going to see every dime if he continues to play the way he has. So he got paid. And by the way, he's been the big breakthrough, too short to be a quarterback. He's been the guy under 6 feet tall that has allowed it now where it's cool. I think he's really helped it for Kyler Murray.
Sure.
I think he's helped it for everybody. And you look at his numbers, and, of course, you just say, hey, played every game. Has never, of all his stats, not the 3-1 quarterback to interception.
Which is amazing.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
The guy's never missed a game. And he's run for, like, he's always one of the best running quarterbacks every year in the league. He's smart. He does it the right way. And he has stayed healthy. And, of course, all the guys taken ahead of him.
Oh, let's not even go over that list.
Andrew Luck has been good when he's healthy.
Andrew Luck was the first pick in that
draft. I don't have
draft.
A problem with that one. That
Robert
one,
Griffin III was the second pick in that draft.
That's not.
Ryan Tannehill was the 8th pick. In that draft.
Yeah.
Brandon Weeden
Ooh.
Was the 22nd pick in that draft. Ooh. And you want to know who is next, by the way? 57th overall, Brock Osweiler.
Oh,
Okay, that was the next quarterback.
I forgot
taken.
Osweiler was in the Russell Wilson. We're calling it the Russell Wilson draft now.
Yeah, it's Russell and Andy Luck at this point. And then Russell Wilson was picked 75th in that draft. Nick Foles was picked 88th. Those are the quarterbacks taken on there. Kirk Cousins was 102nd.
Jeez. Wow.
I mean, three of the top four were legitimately busts.
Nick Foles made a nice late comeback in his career. And one of the few guys to do that.
Won a Super Bowl and signed a huge deal. Good for him. Robert Griffin III had that great rookie year. Brandon Weeden, you see anything out of him? No.
But you know what's amazing about Russell? We've been hearing you can't run in this league. And now you realize, I call it running smart. Russell Wilson is a really – he gets sacked a lot. But as far as running, because he runs a lot, he'll take off and run for first downs. He doesn't let his ego get in the way. Some guys let their ego get in the way. They, you know, Cam Newton was running guys over that year. He put up the big numbers and running around like a fullback. Now he's all banged up in his shoulders and could hardly throw last year. Like, that's the problem with all these guys running too much. And listen, he's as physical as they come, Cam Newton. But Russell Wilson has been the smartest running quarterback I've ever seen. Slides after he gets first downs, runs out of bounds, doesn't try to, you know, pick up another 50 yards. And
it's just not worth it at that point.
Got that great pop-up slide that I love to.
Baseball guy.
Yeah, old baseball guy. Yeah. Still threatening all the time he's going to play baseball. So a hell of a story there, really is, and getting paid. So as of for today, so far, he is the new highest paid player in the National Football
League. At least for a week, I'm assuming.
$35 million, and it was a no-brainer. He wasn't going anywhere. He started barking about New York and everything else in Seattle. Got that deal done. By the way, who's his competition? Because you got all the quarterbacks that have competition. You understand you couldn't have Ryan Tannehill when you went all in on him. You were the back. Whoever was coming in was the backup quarterback.
I understand that, but there is a kind of other side of that, too. That they just never looked for another guy anyway. They just thought Ryan was the guy.
Had other guys. Yeah. Like, he'd love to have Osweiler backing him up forever. You never have to look over your shoulder ever.
Course,
you'd be good forever.
Oh,
hey, we got to go to break here. Hey, Dell Talon's going to join us, Panthers general manager, in the coming up here. Oh, shoot. Coming up in just a few minutes, going to join us. We're going to talk to him because nobody's happier than he is. By the way, it didn't take long to get those billboards up. Coach Q is here, man. Huh? Those billboards, I'm looking at them every day. The Panthers jumping all over it. Business is good for the Panthers right now, who didn't make the playoff. We'll talk to Dale Talon about all that stuff and getting second winningest coach in the history of the NHL down here. We'll talk to him about his buddy. Changes that might be made, where he is, and everything else. That's coming up.
Radio.com.
All right, let's jump right out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to bring on Florida Panthers general manager Dale Talon this morning. Dale, how are you? Good morning.
I'm fine. How are you?
Dale, we're doing good, man. It didn't take long to get up those billboards, man. Coach Q is here. And they look really nice. I'll tell you what a buzz to be able to get your old buddy that you hired all the way back in 2008 to be the head coach of Chicago. How long were you working on that, Dale, where you had a pretty good idea that was going to be your next head coach?
Well, actually, it didn't take long. I mean, it was the idea came forward on a Monday or Tuesday, and then we approached Chicago on Thursday night to ask permission to talk to him, and then negotiations began Friday morning and all the way through the weekend, and we were able to get it done. So very fortunate, very happy.
And Coach Q talked about, we had him on the show, and he talked about the fact that it looks like the same, like the players and the blueprint and what you put in Chicago, it kind of has that feeling down here. Was that an easy sell to Coach Q, just to say, look what we got going, look at our talent, you'd be the perfect fit to take us over the edge?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with it. You know, he likes the comparison, and he liked the opportunity that we had with the talent pool that we have. Not only on the team now, but the talent that we have coming. So he's excited about our prospects. He's excited about the players he has. He thinks that he can improve them quite substantially as far as habits and believing and you know, and keeping it simple and you know, dedication, all those things that were, you know, our composure and our collective confidence was not there this year, and he thinks he can improve that. And then we also, you know, I believe that his signing will help us procure good players in the offseason and free agency.
I was going to ask you that, Dale, besides the coaching, which obviously when a guy's got a resume like Coach Q has, 890 wins and 3 Stanley Cups, speaks for itself. But how many changes need to be made on this team, and specifically the goalie situation? How are you going to handle that? What do you see happening for your fan base out there, Coach?
Well, we're going to draft a couple this year. That's a deep draft for goaltenders, and also we'll be aggressive in free agency. We'll go after the top goalies that are available that make sense for our, you know, as far as our cap. And, you know, it looks like we need a goalie, probably a defenseman, another forward, and then hopefully one or two of our young players will come in and excel at training camp. So, you know, we're not far off. We obviously, if we get the goaltending that we thought we were going to get, and if we continue to build on that and get the right guy in here on July 1st and draft well, you know, that should be a problem. I think we'll give up less chances, scoring chances as well. So, you know, team defense is important, but it comes from the forwards as well. So all 6 guys on the ice have to contribute to pay the price defensively. So it starts, you know, like it's a team thing and a team concept, but, you know, yeah, we'll address those needs July 1st.
Dale, have you talked to Luongo? Have you guys sat down and...
I'm going to talk to Louis here. You know, we had a brief conversation at the exit meetings. I didn't think that was the time and the place.
Right.
I wanted to give him some time to think about it, and I also wanted him to get a chance to talk to Coach Q and go from there. So we're going to afford him the time to make the decision that's wise for himself and for the Panthers.
All right, this past season you had a whole bunch of individual performances that were very good. Guys with stats, goals, the whole deal. But overall, yeah, for you, disappointing season because of how it ended up not going to the playoffs after a season where you were so close, off by 1 point, basically. Is that the kind of way to put it together, that this was just, in your mind, a very disappointing, underachieving season?
Yeah, we had we addressed the needs, and the power play was terrific. Our penalty killing was solid. When your special teams are in the top in the league, you should make the playoffs. So we had some issues in consistency, and that's the reason why we went and got Coach Q, and you know, we'll resolve some of the problems we thought we had. And you know, it's not. Well, I'm not happy watching playoff hockey, but you know, the consistency, getting into the playoffs, and believing in it, and getting a feel for what playoff hockey is like, is what we have to do and achieve in the next 5 years. So we're committed to it, and we're going to be aggressive in the summer, and we're going to make sure that we're a playoff contender every year.
Dale, you are a big golf fan. I know you love playing. I know you're damn good when you get a chance to play a lot. How many hours of that final round did you watch? As far as that goes, how much Tiger did you watch Saturday and Sunday?
Well, that was riveting. I watched the whole thing.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
I mean, it was the greatest sporting achievement maybe I've ever seen, based on what he's gone through and how he's handled it and how he's bounced back. And it was pretty special. It was an unbelievable Masters.
He had all the big guys chasing him. The pressure of the back nine. I've never played, but I feel like watching the Masters every year, you feel like you know all those holes and the par threes and the water in the front. You almost know just watching where you can hit the ball and where you can't. But the pressure, I mean, he had guys even, guys went ahead of him, guys one stroke behind him to put it together. I agree with you. Is that true? You picked him? You thought Tiger was going to win this one?
Yes, sir.
Come on, Dale. There was no signs of that. How the hell did you know?
I didn't know. It's a shot in the dark, right?
Yeah, right.
The hell, when it comes to, you got to take credit, right? Pinpoint all the blame and take all the credit.
No, beat your chest.
Hey.
Dale, beat your chest. Actually, it's a perfect segue to my next question. I need 6 numbers for the lottery. Go when you're ready. I'll write them down just in case.
Me too. me too.
I mean, that's a great prediction. Tiger Woods to win the Masters? What has he done in the last 3 or 4 years to give you the inclination he might win the biggest event of the year?
Well, a couple things. He won the Tour Championship at the end of the year. And the way he's been playing the beginning of this year, his swing looks fabulous. He's on plan. He's swinging at the right pace. His rhythm and tempo is right on, and he's got experience and know-how. So, and he has the will and the desire to do it. So those are all the things that I looked at, and fortunately it worked out for him. But it was great to see the development from last fall to this year. So. It was just tremendous sporting event. It was just fabulous.
Yeah. No, it was. It was great stuff. By the way, I took Molinari, and I was feeling good. That sucker, he wasn't hitting it well. Hitting his irons great, but he was getting up and down hitting. He was banging every 6 and 7 foot putt, and I went, damn, he's going to win this thing. But I forgot about the back nine, and everybody, Dale, everybody has nerves. When I saw him hit it in the middle of that friggin' pond, I went, damn, I do that. That's nothing. I do that under heat. Have you ever done that with a little pressure?
A 3 or 4 skipper. You have a 3 or 4 skipper. Yeah, I've choked many times in tournaments.
So you said you've choked a few times, too, on big shots. Oh, God, yes. I felt a lot better just watching that. I mean, it didn't even come close. He hit that thing right square in the middle of that pond. I was like, geez.
Looked like a normal hacker right there. That's
God,
what
he did.
Well, I'll tell you one that you did hit right on the money, hopefully. Coach Q bringing him down here and really bringing the buzz back to South Florida around the Panthers. Because, yes, I'd like to be watching the NHL playoffs right now with the Panthers in there and not all these other teams around the state.
Hey, Dale, real quickly, too, how Vinny take that when you said, listen, it's going to be a little more expensive. This guy's really good. Plus, we still need to get some more players to upgrade this thing. How'd that go over with ownership on that discussion?
Vinny's all in. He's terrific. He's been unbelievable. And when I mentioned it to him, he said, go for it. You know, like
wow.
He's been fabulous. And no complaints here. We're committed to winning, and all of us together are going to get it done.
Dale, thank you, man. Always great having you.
Thank you, Joe.
You take care of yourself. Thank you, buddy.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Dale Tallon, Florida Panthers general manager.
I know we came up short, Vinny, but I can get this guy that's really good.
Put this team together.
Put it together.
Pick up another guy.
He's done this already in Chicago. Mm. By the way, I need to upgrade. We need a couple more pieces.
Yeah, we need 2 big more pieces. You okay with that? You have to cut a check.
They're expensive. So. Yeah.
And so is our coach.
So let's do it. We got to go to break here. 9 o'clock hour coming up. We have a lot more stuff. We have Charles Davis join us at the end of the show. Talk a little bit about the NFL draft. He'll be all over it for NFL Network. What do you got rolling?
Well, I tell you about Panu Laser and Vision Institute all the time here, and I don't know if you've gotten this point across yet, but Panu Laser has performed over 50,000 LASIK procedures and uses the most advanced technology. If you're looking for a place that you could trust, looking for a place you're going to feel comfortable, it's Panu Laser and Vision Institute. I got LASIK done at Panu, and guess what? It changed my life. No more glasses, no more contacts, no more bottles of solution, none of that. I open my eyes, I see perfectly. It's the first time basically in my life. Since I'm probably 9, 10 years old, it is unbelievable. I went in for my free consultation, and by the way, you can go online to schedule that at panulaser.com or call 954-634-1642. They answered all my questions. I booked my 10-minute outpatient procedure, yes, that little time, for a life-changing experience, and I'm back to work the next day. It was that simple, and Panu is also going to help. Zero down, zero interest for 24 months. Go ahead and mention my name. Also, you get $500 off the procedure as well. You are welcome, and I know it's the end of tax season, so if you get that tax return back, put it to good use. Change the way you see things at Panu Laser and Vision Institute. Call today or go to PanuLaser.com. But it's 954-634-1642. That's 954-634-1642. Like I said, go to the website, PanuLaser.com. That's P-A-N-N-U, Laser.com.
Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.